God, the Most High. He is our risen King and Savior. Welcome to Spiritual Life and Development. I am Minister Tan, and I will be the one that will be the servant leader on today. We're still coming from the book, Cracking Your Armor. And on tonight, we're coming from chapter 13. And chapter 13 is using the wrong sword for the wrong battle. So right before airtime, we did pray, but we're going to pray again. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify you and we honor you, God. We thank you, God, for everything that you have done for us, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for just being mighty. We just thank you for being God all by yourself. We thank you for being so sovereign and so holy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father God, right now we come to you right now praying for healing, Father God. Father God, for those who are sick, Father God, in their bodies, Father God, we pray right now healing, Father God, because in your word you said by your stripes we are healed, Father God, and we thank you right now for the healing, Father God. We thank you for joy. We thank you for peace, God. We thank you for prosperity, Father God. We pray right now, Father God, that there's no lack in anyone's home, Father God, that's hearing my voice, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We thank you right now, Father God, that you will use this your vessel, Father God. We pray right now, Father God, that the ears of your people are open, Father God, and Father God, that your word, Father God, will fall on good soil, Father God. Father God, we thank you for our apostle, Father God. We thank you for her always sitting at your feet, Father God, always with revelation from you, Father God, to feed your people, Father God, to feed your leaders, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. So we pray and we thank you and we glorify you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Sure. All right. So using the wrong sword for the wrong battle. The line is open if you would like to just make a comment on what is going on or the teaching that's going forth on tonight. You're able to do so. So you can call in or just talk. You can actually just talk. So as the chapter states, using the wrong sword for the wrong battle, we all have a mighty weapon, and the weapon that we have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that comes out of Ephesians 6:17. And with the word of God, the word of God must not just be read, but it must also be spoken. Not just spoken, but believed and acted upon. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it states that the word of God is a two-edged sword. And we're going to go through some of the things that the author of the book actually talked about, and then we're going to revisit the scripture. And if you don't mind, can you just open up your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Some of the facts that he did bring out about the word being a two-edged sword is that one of the things he noted in his book is that one of the first edges were formed when the Holy Spirit revealed his word and the prophets had written the scripture. And then the second edge of the sword is actually forged or formed whenever the believers speak that. And we're going to go back and visit that as we go through verse 12 in Hebrews. Now, he stated that there are several ways that we are using the sword wrong. And one of the first topics is mishandling the scriptures. And some of the key points with mishandling the scriptures are that we're using it to, or we're quoting the scripture wrong, we're misusing it, and we're using it to abuse others by mishandling the scripture. The next topic he was talking about is using the scripture out of context. One of the examples he gave was when he went to a graveyard and he saw two different scriptures written on a grave. And one guy, when he was alive and was reading the scripture, he ended up interpreting the scripture incorrectly. And that comes out of Isaiah 26 and 14. Coming out of Isaiah 26 and 14. And he also put 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. And with that, the person who passed away end up believing that no preaching, no praying, no psalms reading. He put that no preaching, no praying, no psalms reading permitted on this life. And if we read Isaiah, they are dead, they will not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise, therefore they has visited, thou hast visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. But what happened in Isaiah, if you go back and read the text and read any chapters before that, they were talking about nations being dead, and they were talking about nations that were coming against Israelites. And with the nations coming against the Israelites, God really destroyed those nations, and he was saying that they would never rise again, or they would never, ever come alive again, and they're destroyed to ever come back and actually attack his people, the Israelite, and he was saying that their memory is to perish. So as we read the scripture, we need to make sure that we're reading scriptures before, scriptures after. Sometimes if you want to read the whole chapter, or a chapter before and a chapter after, to get really the context and the contents of what it's actually saying before we misquote it or misspeak it. And then not only that, if we could just go before our Lord and ask him to reveal what the scripture means. And he would give you, and he would reveal it, he would give you a fresh revelation of the word and give you his insight of what the word actually means. The next topic was using scripture for personal gain. He was actually making reference to what they call prosperity preachers, using that, using the sword on fellow soldiers. When we are in different denominations and we're using the word of God against each person in different denominations, and we're quoting different scriptures from out of the Bible, trying to say that their denomination is not right. But we, and the next topic is using scripture to approve or of your disobedience. Use the scripture to continue to live the life that you want to live, and when God is not calling us to still live in sin. Then if you continue to read it, it has other scriptures there. But if we go back to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 12, it states, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." And I would like to read the last scripture after that. "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable." Now, do anyone would like to say what they feel like God has revealed to them, what that scripture is, before we, you know, take it apart? No one? All right. Hebrews 4 and 12. So, 4. 4 is a conjunction. With 4 being a conjunction, the meaning of 4 is used to indicate the object or purpose of an action. So, because 4 is coming before something, it's actually getting ready to tell or indicate what the object or the purpose of that object is, or what the action of that object is. So for the word, so because it's going to tell you what or what the purpose of the word of God is, 4 came before the word. So for the word. The word means that it's been uttered by a living voice or embodies a conception or idea. So the word of God or the Word has embodied a conception or an idea. And that conception or ideas have come from the Trinity, has come from God. So it is embodied by any kind of conception and ideas of God, meaning that it's derived from or coming from or composed or made by God or the Godhead. So, therefore, the Word of God has been formed or been embodied through the Godhead, and it's coming forth. So when you hear the Word, it's come. It means that it's a spoken or a declarative or a declaration that you're going to make in the spirit realm, and it's alive, which is quick. Quick means to be alive, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God. So right now we have the Word of God, which is alive. And as you speak the Word of God that comes out of your mouth, because it is alive and because it's kingdom of God, you have to understand that whatever you speak and whatever comes out your mouth is going to always be in the kingdom of God, and it will never end. It says that it's endless. So whatever you you have to understand when the scripture says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, life and death is really in the power of the tongue. So because whatever we speak, whatever we make declarations of, whatever we make decrees of, it's alive and it's always living in the kingdom of God. It's never endless. So we always have to be careful of what comes out of our mouth. And comes right after that. It's saying in addition to or plus. So it's saying not only the Word of God is alive, and not only is the Word of God quick, and not only is the Word of God endless in the kingdom of God, it is also powerful. Powerful means, again, been in motion, working. So because it's always active and being in motion and working, it is powerful and it has force and it's mighty. It's effectual. And when it's effectual, you just go back to the verse, says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's effectual. So the Word of God is what? Quick, alive, endless, it's very powerful and active, and it's mighty. And what was what I got out of it when I saw that it was efficient, because we're always, I know that when I'm at work, I'm always telling people we want to be efficient. And it's saying that it's acting to produce a minimum of waste or effort. So when you speak the Word, and because it's powerful and it's efficient, you want it to come and produce an effect with minimum of waste or effort, that it just comes out and it does what it needs to do, exhibiting a high ratio of output to input. So when the Word of God, as you're studying the Word of God, and whatever God is having you say or speak or declare unto his people, it is going to have or produce a greater output than input. So as you're studying and it's coming in, as it's coming out, it is producing so much more. Here again, we're adding to. So the Word of God is not only quick and alive and endless and efficient, which means that it is producing more when you speak it out. It is also sharper. When they're talking about sharper, they're talking about how it cuts, how it's decisive. When you have a regular knife sometimes cuts. And when it cuts, sometimes depending on the person that's using it, you're hacking away with something. But if you're having a sword, and the sword has two edges at the end, that means it's sharp on one side and sharp on the other. That means when it cuts exactly. It cuts decisively the way it wants to cut. It's really sharp, and it goes through. Imagine having a two-edged sword that you're saying, yeah, I'm taking it around, and you're carrying it in your back pocket. You're going to be bleeding before you get to where you need to go, because as you're moving, that sword or that knife is actually cutting. Exactly. It's cutting both ways. So that means that when the word of God comes in, it's cutting. When it goes out, it's cutting. When you get to the word then is superior to above or above. It's used to introduce a second element. So it's used to introduce that which is the two edge. And here again, you got the two edges that's sharp. And it's going to cut, here again, both ways. We're going to go to the word piercing. Piercing means to penetrate, to reach through. And when you're thinking about piercing or to reach through, it's sharp. And when the sword is so sharp, it goes all the way through. All the way through to your bones, to your joints, to your marrow. And the dividing asunder means to separate parts or groups, or to separate, and here we go, of the soul, the breath of life, the seat of the feelings or desires of affection. So if we look at the soul and we're going to see what it's cutting, so we look at what the scripture says, for the word of God is alive, which means that it is always quick, alive, endless, it's powerful and active, it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. So it's sharper than a sharper two-edged sword. So it's saying that a two-edged sword is sharp. So because it said it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, then the word of God is sharper than that two-edged sword. So as we're reading it, it's doing something to the believer when the believer is reading it, and when the believer is speaking out of its mouth, it's doing something to the individual that is speaking it into. And it's dividing. Dividing what? Dividing the soul and the spirit. So it's cutting. Because when we die, our spirit goes where? That's right. So when we die, our spirit goes back to God. So when it comes in, it's coming in and it's cutting out anything that does not need to be there, that's in the seat of our emotions or that's in the seat of our spirit. Our spirit, that's where our emotions and our characters also lie. So whatever that's in there, it's cutting it out, being that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And not only is it cutting it out, is going to the joint, or what is a joint to us, or what is connected to us. So whatever falsely connected itself to us, whatever came on us that was never supposed to be on us from the beginning, because God did not design it to be like that, because we have always walked into some type of comments that our parents or friends or teachers have said, and we put that on as our own. Or put any type of rejection or any type of bitterness or any type of hatred or any type of fear or any type of inferiority that we might have. What it's doing is that it's cutting that stuff out. So as we're reading it for ourselves, the word of God is active and alive. And because it's active and alive, and because you're speaking it and you're first believing it in yourself, if you believe that God says that I am, then you know that he is the I am. So that means that anything he has said and anything he has done, so God cannot swear by himself.
God is God alone, and what he said is just it. What he has called into creation, that is it. What he has called from the beginning, that is it, because his word is his word. When it says marrow, the marrow is the fatty soft tissue that falls, that fills most of the bones. It's the innermost or the choice or the most important part. And because it's the most important part, you know, the bone marrow, when most people have to get bone marrow transplant or have to go into the hospital to donate that bone marrow to help some people with different types of diseases and things of that nature, some people say that that's the hardest thing to do, or it's painful. It's very painful because it gets down deep within. So when the word of God comes in, it's coming in to get deep down within, to get out anything that does not belong there. You know, it's just like when you're eating, you know, the chicken bones or whatever, and then most people are crunching on the bones, like my husband, you know, and they try to get down to the bone marrow, and I'm saying, stop, it's nothing up there, it's gone, leave it alone. You know, Jesus, God, the Godhead wants to get to the most innermost part of us with his word to cleanse us. Our intents, our thoughts, our notions, and our conceptions. And here again, last thing is the heart. So it's getting in our heart and it's cutting out those things that do not belong in our heart, and it's cleansing us up. And what is he replacing those things that have been holding on to us for so long? He's placing it with his love. He's replacing it with his joy. He's replacing it with his peace. He's replacing it with self-control and meekness and gentleness and long-suffering. He's replacing it all with faithfulness. So, and not only that, he's saying that nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So, because nothing is hidden from him, we cannot act like he doesn't see what we're doing. Everything is exposed to him. We are exposed before his eyes. So might as well for us to come to him naked, because he sees us anyway. And because the word of God, as the bishop was teaching about, let Jesus wash the bride, with the word, we are his bride, and he just wants to wash us. Let the word of God become so freaking and alive and so powerful in our lives that as we're reading it, we will start feeling the sword penetrate so deep within us that as it's penetrating deep within us, that word is changing us, and that we're being being faithful unto it. So as he's asking us to go forth and proclaim his word to others, that it comes out, and he has given us fresh revelation that as we speak, we're declaring some things, and we speak with power, and we speak with confidence, because here again, his word is endless. Any comments, any questions or concerns? The lines are open if you have any comments, questions, or concerns. Comments, Bishop? Minister? Anyone that's out there on blog talk, any comments or concerns? Okay. So not only that, can you speak up?
Yeah, this is Overseer Paulette. Can you tell me what chapter we're in?
We're in chapter 13.
Okay, perfect. All right, and just enjoying the process. Thank you. Continue.
Okay.
All right.
Now, he jumps from us using the sword improperly, from us using it to abuse it, misquote it, use it on other believers. We sometimes use it to downplay other ministers because we want to build our ministries up. So what we do, we listen to what one minister has said or pastor has said, one pastor, one prophet, or apostle, or bishop, or whatever they have said or whatever they've spoken. And we take that one little thing and we take whatever they have quoted, pull out what we want to pull out from that quote and say, this person has used the scripture wrong, or that's not right. He said this, so his ministry is not, his or her ministry is not where God wanted, not using it to harm other people, other believers, and our fellow leaders and co-workers in the ministry too. Let me show you the proper way or the correct way to use the sword of the Spirit. Mm-hmm.
So going back to a scripture in Hebrews 4, with the word of God being a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
So you're speaking negatively against another ministry or leader or whatever. What effect does that have on us and our own ministry?
Great question. So we are... Let me see. I wouldn't.
Is that causing a death to ourselves? If we're speaking negatively against someone else, are we?
If it will, and it could, okay? It will and it could. You know, because you can go for so long in your ministry speaking against the man and woman of God. You know, in the Bible it says, touch not my anointing. So when it says touch not my anointing, there were several times where they could have had David, you know, where they possibly could or tried to have had David. And when they were after King Saul as well, you know, King Saul was also appointed and anointed by God. And because King Saul was also appointed and anointed by God, it was David. They decided not to touch Saul. Right. He had every opportunity, but he did not touch Saul because he also knew that Saul was also called and anointed by God. And but, however, Saul caused damnation on himself because he strayed away from what God had called him to do and what God had called him to be, okay? So, therefore, we're still supposed, it states, don't let blessings and curses come out of the same mouth. We should always still pray and bless those enemies. You know, the Word of God says that he's our avenger. You know, so no matter what a person may be saying or doing, sometimes it's hard to turn the other cheek, but he gives us the power to turn the other cheek and to walk away. He gives us the power to still love the individuals who have hurt us and wronged us. And as long as we understand that, and it's also a scripture that states that the wicked will soon be cut down. You know, you can't go for so long doing wickedness in front of the sight of God and thinking that it's honorable and that he honored that what you're doing and it's wrong, you know. So it says that the wicked will soon be cut down. So, yes, I feel like that it will hurt that ministry. In the long run, it will hurt that ministry if we're saying negative things against it or saying negative things against that pastor or that apostle. So you want to add to that, Bishop? Anyone else want to add to that that's out there? So Blog Talk. Great. So with us moving to, with the author moving us to the proper way to use the sword of the Spirit, Paul writes,
preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. To be ready to teach. You know, first we are the students. First we sit at the feet of our righteous and holy God, and he teaches us. And as he teaches us, then we're able to go out and teach others. That's why in the, give me one moment, I just lost my. That's why in the Word of God it says to show ourselves approved so we can rightfully divide the Word. And here again, divide means to separate. So in this chapter when he was talking about using the sword in a proper way, during this time, Paul was writing his last letter to Timothy. And as he was writing his last letter to Timothy, you know, he was actually cautioning Timothy to be aware of the different things that's out there. At that time, Paul had two other people that followed him at one point, and their names were Philetus. I don't know how to say it. How you say this, Bishop? P-H-I-L-E-T-U-S. L-E-T-U-S. Philetus, Philetus, and Hymenaeus. So they were the two followers that followed after Paul. And they received the correct teaching from Paul, but some way, somehow, they fell away from the correct teachings that they received from Paul. And when they fell away from the correct teachings that they received from Paul, they end up teaching, becoming false teachers. And with them becoming false teachers, they end up having followers. So you can end up getting followers. So that's why they told, that's why Paul also told Timothy in 2 Timothy as well to study to show yourself approved. He was actually telling him that. So it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly examines the word of truth. So, with that, he was telling him, you know, you can correctly examine the word of truth. So as we study to show ourselves approved before God, then as we go in any ministries or in our marketplaces or on our jobs or in a grocery store or in an airport or on a bus, and if you hear different things, we're able to divide. That word division means to separate. We're able to separate that which is false from that which is true. So that's why at this point, Paul was telling Timothy, you study to show yourself approved. And not only do you study to show yourself approved, anyone that's coming under you after that, you know, let them study to show themselves approved, because it's coming a time where, or we're living in the time, that are rising up that are not teaching the truth and that is not teaching the living word of God. Here again, what did we say that the word of God is? We said that the word of God is quick. We said that the word of God is active. We said that the word of God is powerful and is endless in the kingdom. So therefore, if we're studying to show ourselves approved of whatever God has revealed unto us to teach to his people, we're giving them truth. So therefore, we're able to divide or to separate that which is false from that which is truth. Any questions or concerns about that? And the great concept about being able to divide that which is true from that which is false, I love the example that he gave. When a false teaching arises,
within you, or when there's a sore that comes within a ministry and it falls, it stays there just like a sore that's on the body, and it grows and it becomes very infected. And when it grows and becomes really infected, it gets deep down within. And it's called like a canker, you know, almost like dead sores or what he called gangrene. And everyone knows that if you get gangrene, that if it continues to grow and grow and grow, and it's been there for so long, it stinks and it's nasty and it's disgusting and it's pussy. That means that any false teaching that comes along is just there. It's growing, it's becoming infected, and it can infect other things, and it can infect other people. And not only that, if gangrene stays in you for so long, you can end up in death, because not only is it affecting that which is already on, it can also go into the bloodstream. And when it gets into your bloodstream and infect your bloodstream, it can cause death. So when a false teaching comes before us, it can also cause death in that individual who has received truth. But if we don't know the word of God and don't know what his word has said, and if we're not studying it, then we are able easily to be led astray by a false teacher. What happens when you get a canker sore or anything like that on you that's like gangrene? It has to be cut off. Why does it have to be cut off? It has to be cut off so it won't affect the other body. So therefore, when different people are excommunicated, is that correct? When different people are excommunicated from ministries, it's not, why you did that. It's sometimes you have to cut off that which is being infectious, I think I'm saying it right, to what is in the sore.
Is that right?
Yes. To what is in the sore. It has to be cut off, okay? Or it can be rebuked or reproved, you know, to bring it back into right standing with what is the truth. Any comments or concerns?
This overseer?
Yes.
In listening and the false teaching, and they were speaking of what happens in one ministry, and so often is that it doesn't start as something that's wrong. It doesn't start with the word being incorrect, but the word being incomplete. And because they're not familiar with it, then they feel like it's, you know, like it doesn't take all of that. When in studying, we would find that it does, first of all, but because the majority of the people have not had that study experience with the Holy Spirit and his word, they don't see the truth in it. They don't value, and they don't know. And so it starts as a legitimate word that isn't a complete word. So it's like so many scriptures that we know, but we only know in part. But once we continue to study, and when studying, it's like, what is this attached to? Where does it come from? Who is it going to? And when we look at all the elements involved in a word, it's in the context of the entire reference that is being used to bring that point apart. About and to put that scripture in there. And so what happens is a good thing becomes not a God thing, because the part of it that's good and the scripture is good. But if it's not the intent of God for that scripture, you know, or there's more to it, then it will breed, like you say, like with the canker, it will affect because or infect us and become infectious, as you said, because that will then devalue other things that really are connected to it, but because you didn't get that connection, you don't receive the next thing and the next truth, and so then it becomes perverted and so distorted that it's just false and doesn't have any good thing in it. So.
Exactly, and so you are exactly right, Overseer Paulette. And the thing is that also, as mentioned earlier, you have to make sure, and like you said, and I agree with you, you have to read the scriptures before, the scriptures after. Sometimes I have to read the whole chapter. Sometimes I have to start from the whole book and read it to get to, you know, and then just stop and just ask, okay, Lord, could you give me a revelation of your word? Can you give me understanding of what I am reading? You know, because as long as you ask, he will reveal it to you, you know.
Yeah.
So you will be walking in error, you know. So you're exactly correct.
Amen. So, amen.
Any other comments, Bishop, you want to add? All right. This is what he does. And just to give some of the things that he says that some of the false teaching that can spread like gangrene within the body of Christ, like some of the examples are hell does not exist. All men will end up in heaven no matter what religion they are. God approves of same-sex relations. Abortion is only a surgical procedure as the fetus is not human until the umbilical cord is cut. And I totally disagree with that. I totally disagree with that because, you know, they show you, even when you pull it up, even on a Google it, you know, the different stages of birth, it shows you that there's a little bit of a spine that has grown. You don't see your tailbone yet, but it's a little bit of, at the end of it, it's shaped a little bit, and it's like a tailbone. So, yes, so it shows you even that. You even have a heartbeat, some heartbeat. So that baby is alive. So, and the other one is the Bible cannot be trusted. It's outdated and not relevant for the culture. And we all know that the Bible has been around for centuries. It's the spoken word of God and that it is not outdated. It is still here again, alive and quick and powerful and endless in the kingdom of God.
Amen. You know, if a fetus decided to keep it until the umbilical cord is cut, because my understanding is that they cut the umbilical cord after the child was born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that means that those that have believed this statement, it's like saying that you're giving birth to a fetus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense at all. So I don't know, you know. But we have a couple of more minutes. And before we close, it states that we as the body of Christ, I do agree with the author with this statement, we as the body of Christ need unity and not division. We all need to come together in unity because we all serve one God, one Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, one Godhead we all serve. And to beware of giants with new swords. When David fought the giants, there were other giants in the land, and those giants also had kids.
And so just because Giant and those and that giant had brothers. So so she didn't just by chance pick up five smooth pebbles, you know, okay, I'm gonna kill you and then I'm gonna kill your brothers because I know that if I just kill you, then your brothers gonna be coming after me. So, you know, let me just follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, pick up five smooth stones, okay, pop you. You're dead. Okay, let me pop up the other ones. And they're all gone and they're all destroyed. So not only did he destroy the giants, but also those giants have kids. So what he's saying is that beware of the giants with new swords. Just because, and David, when he killed the giant, he took the giant's sword. Okay, you may have taken my dad's sword, but let me tell you, I can go and get a bigger, better, most improved sword made, and I'm coming after you. So therefore, our swords are bigger, better, and most improved, and our sword is the word of God. So we always need to make sure that we're sharpening the instrument that we must use, and it sharpens daily, you know, that word of God, always constantly reading it and absorbing it, and it states that the word of God that I will hide in my heart, that I would not sin against him, you know, so we won't sin against him. And I like it when I think Bishop and I were sitting around talking the other night, and a comment was made stating that God is doing a new thing with us here in the earth realm. He's moving his people in a different direction. It's a new transition he's trying to bring us to. And the transition is to be able to just put in the word in our heart and just being able to speak that word, and the word is just coming out of our heart. You know, a couple of years back, it was a movie that came out that was called Eli. And with that movie, with Eli, the book of Eli, that's it. I just said Eli, yes, there you go. Yep, with Denzel Washington, the book of Eli. And what was going on in the state, the guy, the tyrant, the person that was running or controlling everything, he was in search for this book, just this one book. He knew that if he had his hand on that one book, he was able to control the people. But he was trying to control the people not in a rightful way, but in a negative way by saying that everything you need is in this book. And this book has told me, it's just like how they try to keep us in slavery, because some of the masters used the word of God, but they misquoted the word of God. And because we, our forefathers and our ancestors, did not know what the God, word of God said at that time, we believed them. So they used it to force to exhibit punishment upon us. So long story short, the book that the guy was looking for was the Bible. And when he finally got his hand on the Bible, it was written in Braille. And because it was written in Braille, he went crazy because he could not read what was in there, and he could not use it for the unjustly way he wanted to use it for. And when Eli got to the destination that he was supposed to go to, because all he was trying to go is get to was a run down Alcatraz, I think it was, because they had a library there. They were restoring books. And he was like, I just need to get there so it could be written, so it could be written back on paper. So once he got there and once he got his stuff refreshed, he laid down and he started quoting every scripture that was ever was. And therefore, that's how the word is supposed to be hidden in our heart. Come in. Yes, that was because the land had, the earth realm had become desolate, and I forgot what had happened to the earth realm at that time.
The Revelation talk about that the sun has scorched the land, like an apocalyptic time. And I think the people were witnesses to that. And so as some of them were coming back out of the light, you know, everything was lost. Everything was gone. And so as a result of that, he didn't even know what he was going to the West Coast for. It doesn't take that long to get to the West Coast, but it took him 3 years
mm-hmm.
to get to the West Coast. And he said, all I know is when I get there, I'll know what to do.
Right.
And he just spoke that word. But that was cool. It was so enriched and silent.
Right. And that's what I was trying to get to, because that word was so embedded in him, you know, so. One more thing I wanted to add. So these, I want to read directly out of the book of where he's coming from. I don't know what page you're on because I got it electronically, but it's next to the last page in the chapter. Yes. And it states, if you go down, it says, a totally dull knife, axe, or sword may look beautiful, but it is useless for what it is created for. Believers who water down the word of God, weakening the strong taste of biblical doctrine, will find themselves anemic and weak from a lack of nourishment from God's heavenly manna. I felt that that was so powerful. Because, you know, when you are an anemic, you don't have enough iron in the blood. And, you know, you need the blood to continue to circulate, to continue to keep the body pumping. So because you're anemic, you have to take iron supplements in order to supplement that which is lacking in the nourishment that you're getting, or you must eat more foods that has that iron in it, you know. So he's comparing it. If we are not eating and feasting on our God's heavenly manna, on the bread of life, then we become malnourished. I don't know if you ever seen a child that's malnourished, but if you've seen a child that's malnourished, they're almost skin and bones. So he's saying that without the manna, without the word of God, without the bread of life, we become so malnourished that we become skin and bones, and we have nothing else to end up feasting on. We have nothing else to give us that nourishment or the nutrition that we need to move on to the next level that he has us to go towards.
Sometimes, like, you know, when you have a baby, the baby needs milk.
Yes.
When the baby grows, it starts being
Yes.
And if you got a 14-year-old child, he's on
the milk. That's right. Yes, he is.
Or it's like in situations where you're using the infant and you're feeding the infant, you know, water and chips. You can just add it junk.
Yeah.
He's not even a baby.
And and that's right. But in every phase, I mean, God is so wonderful because God designed us. God put this in order. In every developmental stage that we go through, from an infant to a toddler stage, we're eating solid food. He put this together. And he has designed it. Everything you need is right there. At every stage of life that you're developing at, as an infant, everything you need is in that milk. Everything you need at that next stage where you're eating the soft food, it's right there, plus the milk. You're still not getting off the milk until, you know, he has said, okay, you're about a year old, so now the next developmental stage, you need something a little bit more powerful. You know, so he has set it up and designed it. So you're exactly right. And so it's just like us. If we're still eating milk or drinking milk, but we really need some meat, and we need this steak and potatoes and everything else that comes with it, we're being malnourished and we're being underfed ourselves with the word. So you're exactly right.
And also, Pastor.
Yeah.
Also, Pastor. My thought, even with that, is if we, even with the baby, there's a certain a regimen. You know, you start with milk, and then you go to the soft foods and the different things. But not just so that you can progress to something else, but so that your body will build itself to a place that it needs to be, because certain things are happening in different stages of our life, and it requires a different types of food in those stages. And if we skip a stage, or like a lot of people that go right away to giving their children cereal when they're 1 month old or something, just to make them sleep, you know, and the child will eat it, but the digestive system is not going to process it the way it should, so the other things that are needed aren't going to develop the way they should. And though they may get to steak and they may get to meat, they're not going to be able, they're going to always have indigestion, and something is not going to flow correctly because the process was not followed. Like you were saying, fervently dividing the word and going through all of it and allowing it to go to the marrow. You know, it's a painful place and no one wants it to go there, and everybody would like to skip that part. You know, they want to just hop over to something else and not let that part happen. But if any one of those stages or those developmental stages are not handled correctly, then what you end up with is a Christian or a Christian that's going to live not the abundant life. They may make it, but they'll endure so many things that they don't have to, because they did not receive the whole scroll, as one of the scriptures implied. So a lot of things are good, but they're not godly, and because they're not godly, we miss it. And we accept the good because it's good. And I saw that in the word. There was so much more to it that wasn't applied to it. And so as a result, God's perfect plan and his perfect design is going to be distorted and corrupt and going to make the journey like 40 years in the wilderness when they could have just 2 days and been there.
That's true. No. Anything? Do you want to add to that, Bishop? You good? All right.
Well, no, I mean, Mr. Abel keeps asking why I'm so quiet. I'm like trapped in between these two thoughts, wonderful thoughts. I'm listening to that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And I had a testimony this week. And so I've just been sitting over here rejoicing like it was just bubbling. So this week, the Lord gave me an extra tongue in my mouth.
Trust. It was something else in there. I examined it myself.
Can you open your mouth so I can see in your mouth and see what's there? And it was this tongue to chew, and I'm just sitting up there like, oh, I guess I must start proclaiming something doubly. So I just spoke with an apostle, and she said what that is called is the tongue of the learned. Mm-hmm. And it's Isaiah 50:4. So the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wake up morning by morning, he wake up my ear to hear and to learn. And so I just went and just researching that over here along with it. the more that we put the word of God within us, and the more we speak it, the more people's lives have just got to change. So, but that's why I blow your card, and it's still a little bubbly, right?
I agree.
And I'm like, is she speaking right?
Yeah.
But it starts with, and I think Overseer said it earlier, we have to start moving the Holy entertaining the word of God, but entertaining the word of God in our very essence. I don't want to say playing with it, but breaking it apart, digesting it. You know, we are anemic. We take part of the scripture and not the full gamut of what he's saying. Thus, we only partially free. Even that, because we have not taken some things apart. You know what I mean? And you got to take it apart. I don't want to say tinker with it, but take it apart, study each part, because each part is significant, and then put it back together again. And you'll
be right. And I think that what helped me out when I'm reading and studying is that I think spiritual growth and development. About a couple of years ago, when Apostle, when we were downstairs, and Apostle was telling us to, what, it was like a word that we needed to get that, like, to study. And that we had to break it apart. We had to look at it from the natural point. We had to get the dictionary and read what the dictionary said the meaning of the word was. Then we had to actually get a biblical dictionary to see what the word means. Break that word apart with any scripture that's there and add the meanings that we got out of it in that scripture, and it changes everything for you. So, you know, that's just how I actually study and try to understand. Okay, let me now put this back in. Oh, what word? You saying that it penetrates? And then I went to another scripture. I went to the Message Bible. Don't even have a Message Bible scripture with me. But back in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the bottom line was it says that it's incapable of being penetrated. So it was saying that whatever that comes in us, that the word of God, and the sword, it was saying that the sword and the word of God will penetrate so deep within that it would even cause some stuff to come out. So anyway, you would go from different, let me see, the King James Version. You go to different versions of the Bible to get different, to read it in a different manner to get the full essence of it.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Now, in the last part, I wanted to share with, instead of using our biblical knowledge to assault other believers who may differ occasionally with us on minor issues, we should minimize and reduce the impact of the enemy's weapons by exploding the knowledge of the truth on the world scene. As the gospel must be preached around the world before the end will come. And he's saying that your enemy is not a Baptist or a Pentecostal. Your enemy is to destroy a soul called Satan, and his spirit rebels. So, and it states that you can't fight unless you're in the light, and the light is the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So I have really, before we end, are there any other comments that anyone would like to share for tonight? All right. Thank you so much. I really have enjoyed being your servant leader or teacher for tonight. It really was awesome. So before we leave, let's prayer.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We honor you and we glorify you. We thank you, Father God, for always being righteous, for always being sovereign, for always being merciful. Father God, we ask, Father God, that we find ourselves in standing with you, Father God, that we always find ourselves at your feet, Father God, that we're always there, Father God, studying and reading your word, Father God, that, Father God, that it comes within us first, Father God, cutting whatever is in there, Father God, cutting it out, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We pray right now, Father God, that you give us wisdom and understanding of your word, Father God, that as you direct our path to go towards your people, Father God, and speak your word, Father God, that we're declaring it with truth, and we're declaring it with power, and we're declaring it with accuracy, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we declare your word, Father God, we should know, Father God, that your word is always quick and active, Father God. And we should always know, Father God, that your word is never endless in the kingdom of God, Father God, that your word is powerful, Father God. And because your word is never endless, Father God, we will be ever so careful and ever so mindful of the word that are, of the words that are spoken out of our mouth, Father God, that we would speak life, Father God, and not death, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right.
Thank you all so much for joining us. We are here again next Wednesday, and we're coming from chapter 6 on next Wednesday. When believers begin fasting. So meet us back here again on next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, where we will be in the same book on chapter 6, when believers begin fasting. Amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Enjoy and embrace the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many more minutes?